Peter, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
For those who have just tuned in, we're speaking to Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, as we always do with That's the Spirit. We talk about things that people just don't often talk about. Well, you probably talk about them all the time, Peter, but not here on BFM. How do you do?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And it's been a week when even people who weren't interested in religion would have to say religion has been in the news. Look at that terrible bombing in, the attack on the Manchester synagogue.
Yeah, horrible.
That was on Thursday in that very sacred day of the year for Jews of Yom Kippur, the great day of atonement. Disturbingly, kind of the choice of date is rather ominous, actually, because in Yom Kippur, supposedly, there has to be a sacrifice for all the sins of the Jews throughout the world.
Oh.
And the sacrifice, one is killed and one is sent into the wilderness to run away, two goats. And I think there was probably quite a deliberate choice of day, because this is a day where Jews remember the agonies that they've been through and the terrible things they've experienced.
Yeah.
And to attack them on that day was probably significant. But I think even that event was overshadowed by the appointment or nomination.
In the religious world, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in the religious world. Was the nomination of Sarah Mullally to be the Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Anglican Church.
Yes, indeed. And I saw this coming, so that's why I played the song Scared Old Men, because I thought, take that.
Very appropriate. Very appropriate.
Tell us about it.
Well, there's plenty of scared old men making their protests. I can tell you this. I've been going across all the standard websites and looking and reading up on their comments, and of course they're all horrified and saddened and grief-stricken, and feel this is a further nail in the coffin.
I know. First a female Doctor Who, and now this. What next? A queen? The queen?
I think we've had one of those.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, we've had a couple of them.
Quite a long time ago. Yes. No. So what is most interesting, though, is that she is obviously superbly competent, because she gets this position after having held back in from 1998 to 2005, I think it was, she was the chief nursing officer for the whole of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty significant role, because your responsibility is to ensure that nurses are trained adequately and that nursing supplies are kept up. And in the NHS, the English equivalent of our health system, is much more nationalised than we're used to. So it was a significant role. And then she moved and she got some very grand honour as she's Dame Sarah, as a result of that work as nursing, then comes into the church, and here she is, age 63. She's been appointed to the most senior position in the Anglican Church, which is this very historic, it's called a see or a diocese of Canterbury. So Canterbury is really a small, unimportant place, but it houses this huge cathedral built on the site where originally St. Augustine of Canterbury first preached to the other types of Christians that were already in Britain back in the 6th century and persuaded them to convert to Catholic Christianity. It's the site where Thomas Becket was slaughtered, killed by two knights acting for the king back in the 13th century, so it's a pilgrimage site. It's a pretty significant place, a huge old cathedral. And to place a woman in charge of this says that things are changing, even in the Anglican Church.
Yeah, that's, it's, you know, I got to say, from my perspective, that's great. You know, I think that's really... And hopefully the majority of people will be like, that's fantastic, you know, but there will be people.
I think inevitably a woman is going to be faced with sharper criticism than are men, so they had to choose somebody very competent. Mm. She served for the last 9 years, I think it is, as Bishop of London. Now, Bishop of London is a tricky role because you've got an enormous number of churches, but you've also got sort of the headquarters of every kind of theological organization.
Yeah.
Some very conservative, some very liberal. And she rides this beast and tries to put it into some sort of order, whereas in fact most London churches just ignore the bishop and carry on doing what they want to. So she survived that and has gone on clearly for administrative skills. And I guess in the end, this is the sad fact, the church is an organisation and you need some skills to run an organisation, especially as the last man forgot to read his emails and therefore forgot to apologise at the right time.
Right. I don't think another reason why it's such a big deal, isn't it? It's because it's who's next and will they avoid the same mistakes, won't they?
That's right. Although it has to be said that the last three archbishops of Canterbury have tried desperately to keep the ship going steady. And it's an in effect impossible job because you've got England, you're a contemporary society with liberal views about women and about same-sex relationships. And then you've got the worldwide Anglicanism, which you're supposed to lead as well, which is dominated these days by Nigerians.
Really?
And Uganda, yeah. Well, they're vastly outnumbered, the number of Anglicans in England. There's probably 6 or 7 million Anglicans in Nigeria, maybe a lot more, whereas actual attending Anglicans in England is less than 1 million, you see.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if my dad will end up being reposted from Titirangi to Nigeria. Yeah.
Well, it could be, but I think the trouble is that this is where Anglican is such an odd kind of institution because it sits halfway between the Catholic Church, which has, let's face it, an authoritarian structure to run it, and a lot of Protestant churches that are effectively democratic and everybody can do what they want to in it.
Mm.
The Anglican Church, it believes in consultation, so lay and clergy have their chance to say things. But to mess this up even more, in England, it's the official Church of England, and the king has to approve the nomination. So it's very paradoxical.
Yeah.
So it is the essence of the establishment. She has sat in the House of Lords for the past 6 years, I think, and make speeches on appropriate subjects.
Yeah.
And Anglicans are just like that, you know, a strange combination of rights and responsibilities.
Yeah. Isn't it an interesting thing, though, that, you know, she's this, you know, this new appointee, of course the story is she's a woman, and she's, you know, and the crazy, it's not even a double standard that women get held to in power. It's like if they don't have enough experience, then people will point at them and say, well, they don't have enough experience. But no matter what the experience, obviously this woman's got lots of experience working in healthcare, which is obviously, it's a business, sure, but it's also,
it's demanding,
but it's also the realm of empathy, you know, ideally. Yeah. Healthcare is supposed to be empathetic. And you know, so it's, by all your descriptions, sounds like she's a great candidate. But even so, you don't have enough experience and you get lambasted for that. But if you've got all the experience in the world, suddenly it goes out the window and that's just not what they complain about anymore.
And by the way, a New Zealand Maori canon was on the selection committee.
Hmm.
Because for the first time they decided they needed to consult with the worldwide church. And Isaac, what was his other name? I can't remember. I've heard him talking about it. It's been a very interesting responsibility being drawn in to one of three representatives from the worldwide church. I don't think there was a Nigerian on the panel, mind you, making their opinions.
Well, forgive me for this is a question that's born out of ignorance.
Yes.
But you know, you mentioned obviously the Nigerian Anglican, parish or what's the word? Number of people, is significantly bigger than in England. But is the Nigerian Anglicanism more conservative, or is it different in significant ways than in England's
It's profoundly conservative. Most of African Christianity is far more conservative than Western European types of religion.
Right.
And the reason for this is that they sit on that very uncomfortable and tense boundary between Islam and Christianity.
Right.
And the competition and the activities of ISIS groups that are out to kill Christians, and that the places in the middle of Nigeria are constantly being attacked by Muslims. And they are, in effect, they need to make the church into a staunch body to oppose Islam.
Right. It's not just a cup of tea and a Milo, you know, afterwards.
Not at all. And a ham sandwich, of course.
Yes.
But no, that won't work in Nigeria. Christianity is about mobilizing people in the face of, you know, possible death.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, a lot of African Christianity, except in South Africa, tends to be very, very militant.
Fascinating. I didn't know we were going there. Well, we always learn something. Thank you very much, Peter, for your time. And, you know, so when is she hitting the ground running? Is she starting now, or is there...
No, she starts... there's a whole process to go through.
I'm sure there's a coronation of sorts, is there?
A whole series of formal elections and of the formal letter of appointment by the king.
Yeah.
And she will take her role from January.
Okay.
But she'll be watched from now.
Oh, yes, of course. And you and I will be watching too, Peter. We'll make sure she can do it.
We will indeed, keeping our listeners
this woman.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time and your insights, as always.
Very good.
Bye-bye. Tell you what, this show is just bloody...